Over 200 experts have shared their secrets to a successful business. Join me, Rose Davidson, as I discover how these experts took their businesses to the next level.
Talking with the experts.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts. Talking about all things business by business owners for business owners. Episode 253 with Angela Cedrin.
So having come from a consulting background myself, I like to create models out of any problem that needs to be solved. And I've done that with course creation. There are four steps to essentially creating a course. The first is that you need to assess yourself, your market, and your leadership skills as well. That's really, really important. So if you think of building a course like reaching the top of a mountain, you would never just get to the bottom of a mountain and race straight up. You would need to do a little bit of reconnaissance. So understand the lay of the land, understand your strengths and weaknesses, and then prepare for that ascent. And building a course is exactly the same. So by doing this and assessing yourself and your environment and your competitors, what you're actually doing is you're starting to get real clarity on what you need to do as you move into the next phase. And that next phase is what I call the build phase. The build phase is the phase where you literally sit down and you architect or you design your processes.
Talking with the experts.
Hello and welcome to Talking with the Experts. My name's Rose Davidson, your host from rosedavidson.com. And Talking with the Experts is about all things business by business owners for business owners. And today it's my great pleasure to introduce you to Angela Cedrin. And I have known each other for a little while now, but she's been a bit off the radar for the last couple of years, and it's really lovely to see her back. Angela is an ex-corporate business strategist, marketing maven, kick-ass management consultant, and executive coach on a mission to help visionary women to build, market, and scale their online businesses. She helps savvy women to step into their divine feminine power, harness their purpose, and build digital business empires that bring them financial liberation and a life that they love. She's committed to helping women having grown up in Africa, and seeing what women there go through, as well as her own experiences as a single mum, where one in three women over the age of 45 in the Western world live below the poverty line. Welcome, Angela. Thank you so much for joining me, and it's really good to see you.
And you. It's my absolute pleasure, and it's so lovely to reconnect again, Rose.
Are you still involved with all the charities and so forth, helping with young girls that are living below the poverty line and you know, being abused and all those sorts of things? I know you were heavily involved in that before.
Yes, I still am. The UN has certain programs where they sponsor girls to stay in school, and it can range from anything to helping a girl, from anything like helping a girl to buy sanitary pads to stay in school for that extra week a month, to helping them get a bicycle so that they can actually physically get to the school. And that's actually an interesting question that you asked, because one of the things that I have occasionally with new clients is that they'll say to me that they want to help everybody. And look, most of my clients, because they're building their online coaching businesses, really want to help people. But as I've said to them before, you have to help yourself and build your business and get an income in before you can help everybody. And that's where I use my business as a vehicle to actually help these other women who are less fortunate. Clearly, they can't afford my services. So what I do is I market my business to women who can, help them get on their feet, and then I use my business as a vehicle to then help the less fortunate as well.
Wonderful philanthropy project that you absolutely, and I know that you absolutely love it, and you've been involved in it with for ages and ages. I think a lot of us could become more involved in it, actually, if we could. Now, we're going to be talking about launching a digital course, which I am in the process of putting one together. So, some of your information might be very helpful to me.
Well, fire
So
away,
how
I
does
guess.
one start going about launching? What are the first steps they need to do before launching their course?
Well, one thing I have found that a lot of coaches do when they teach this is they throw a lot of information at you, and people are quite confused at the end of it as to where they need to go and what they need to do. So, having come from a consulting background myself, I like to create models out of any problem that needs to be solved. And I've done that with course creation. There are four steps to essentially creating a course. The first is that you need to assess yourself, your market, and your leadership skills as well. That's really, really important. So if you think of building a course like reaching the top of a mountain, you would never just get to the bottom of a mountain and race straight up. You would need to do a little bit of reconnaissance. So understand the lay of the land, understand your strengths and weaknesses, and then prepare for that ascent. And building a course is exactly the same. So by doing this and assessing yourself and your environment and your competitors, what you're actually doing is you're starting to get real clarity on what you need to do as you move into the next phase. And that next phase is what I call the build phase. The build phase is the phase where you literally sit down and you architect or you design your processes. So it could be your course, it could be your marketing, it could be your automation. In fact, it is all three of those things. And in doing that and in designing those, you're not just deciding what you're doing, but you're very importantly deciding what you're going to say no to. And this gives you absolute focus. And this again is an area where a lot of new coaches get stuck, because A, they are taught too much by a lot of their coaches, and B, they end up overwhelmed because they don't know what to say, but to say no to, essentially. And that's really important. So if you assess your market properly in yourself, you've got that clarity, you build systems and a course that suit that market that you've investigated, then you get focus. And from there, what you do is you go into the next phase, which is to connect and make sales. And that's your marketing. That's literally your selling. There is a little bit of automation in that. And I've got some exciting new systems now that can automate some of your social media. And what that does effectively is that starts bringing in sales and it starts bringing money into the bank. And from there, you move into the fourth phase, which is your D. So you've got assess for A, B for build, C for connect and convert, and D for deliver and delight. And that's bringing your customers beautifully or your clients beautifully into your course, really setting up your course to onboard them in a beautiful way that gives them complete clarity on where they are, what their journey is going to be, and what their vision is at the end of it. But more importantly, also setting them up so that they succeed in the course and become committed lifelong customers.
Great way of promoting a course or, you know, course content and all that sort of thing. Yeah, I'm not even anywhere near that. I'm just trying to get it all together. And yeah, and the next steps to me, I have no bloody idea.
Well, actually, there is one more piece, and that I like to call the glue in the middle of all of this that holds all these things together, and that is self-mastery. And by self-mastery, so having been an executive coach, one of the things that I was very strong on was not just teaching these business leaders the skills that they needed, the sort of the hard skills and the business skills. It's also about teaching them the right behaviors. And very often people will go into starting a business and they've got all the good skills and they can learn some of those business skills, but they don't necessarily have the resilience and the ability to motivate and the ability to really have the confidence to get on calls and sell really strongly. So whilst I do teach the business skills in this ABCD system, I'm also consistently teaching people the leadership skills that they need. And that's not just saying, hey, you can do it, you know, be strong. It's really also getting them to understand what their limiting beliefs are so that they dig down into some of these things that are stopping them. And that way they're going to be far more effective when it comes to actually tackling them head on and pushing them aside so that they can move forward.
Yeah. So what are the things that someone, if you'd like to share, some of the things that people should be saying no to when they're creating their course or marketing their course?
Well, typically, if you are in this space and you've looked at a number of coaches, what happens is you go to your Facebook or your Instagram feed and you get bombarded with adverts for different coaches and different lead magnets. And often what we do is we'll start a course and we'll dabble for a week or two, and then things don't happen as fast as we want. And then this new ad comes up and it says, whoop-de-doo, in 3 days, you can earn $1 million, download the sleep magnet. So we do that. So what we end up doing is we're not focused on enough. In fact, we're focused on too much. What we need to do is pick a course and be consistent to that course and say no to some of the other distractions that come up. There are far too many distractions, and it is very tempting, particularly if you don't know what you don't know in the early days. And you think, oh, I might try this, or I might try a little bit of that. Pick one course, one journey, and stick to it and give it at least 3 months and ignore all these bright, new, shiny things that potentially get in the way.
Yeah, I when I lived in Adelaide, I had, when I first started my business all those years ago, I used to collect everything marketing that used to come across my desk. It doesn't matter what it was. If I saw it, I downloaded it.
Yeah.
And I had a huge box, cardboard box, filled with printed off marketing material. Do you think I read any of it? Not on your nearly, no. I didn't.
Yeah. I know, we become collectors of these lead magnets, and most of them we never actually look at again, but we always see for a solution.
Yeah, it looked like a shiny object, and I thought, yeah, I'll read that later. And then I'd print it off, put it in the box, and think, now where did that go to?
Yeah, exactly. You know, but it also comes down to the fact that because we don't necessarily have a lot of experience in this area, who do we trust? And we might have dabbled in one thing not long enough though to actually give it the traction that it needs. And then something else comes along. We think, oh, I hope that's going to be the right thing. So we become like magpies attracting all these bright, shiny objects to us. But we don't quite know where to go. And all that that ends up doing is become overwhelmed and we really get stuck.
Absolutely. Yeah. I did a course a couple of years ago, and it was supposed to help me get my course up online. I'm still getting my course up online because I didn't understand any of the stuff that they were teaching me. It just didn't make sense to me at all. And I paid, a lot of money for it, but it was a total waste of money because I didn't get anything out of it.
Well, you know, let's talk about that a little bit, because what's useful as a learning point for you and me in this is to really discover what didn't work about it. Why was it confusing? And again, this is where some coaches build courses, but they don't build them very well. They don't literally take their people through that course in a way that's easy to understand, that you know where you sit in the journey and what the end point is. And that's really important when you're teaching adults. You need to lead them through the journey, but keep checking in and saying, this is what we've done, this is why we've done it, this is where we're next, and this is where we're going next. And by doing that, you actually reduce the overwhelm tremendously. Plus, you really give them more of a sense of achievement. But I think particularly in the early days in this coaching space, a lot of people cobbled together courses and they almost threw spaghetti at a wall in terms of, I'm just going to stick everything in this course, including the kitchen sink. And that's a mistake, because at the end of the day, you can pick up the phone, this little device here, and you've got access to virtually every single piece of information that you would need to build a course. But the issue is nobody's put it together for you in a way that makes sense, that takes you through the steps, that gives you the minimum amount of information you need to know, but that more importantly really gives you the support that you need to know. And I'm also finding a lot of courses at the moment fail in giving the right amount of support. It's not enough, and it's a little bit too late sometimes with clients as well. So many people don't finish their courses.
I agree. I've started a lot of courses, especially online ones, and then because there's no group sessions or email support or anything like that, it's just an online course and you just do it on your own. So if you've got questions, well, who are you going to ask? And and it's not conducive to good learning, I don't think.
Yeah, that was frustration of mine too. I mean, I've been through many courses over the years as well, and a frustration of mine would be that I would get stuck in something. So let's say, for example, copywriting is not something you can learn overnight, and it's not going to be something you're going to become a master at by reading a two-page document or watching a 10-minute video. So for me, my frustration was I would go to the group Q&A session and I'd say, I need some help in terms of this. And they'd say, no, you're right, the way you've written it doesn't work. Please consider doing it this way. And I'd be like, I still don't know what to do. Can't you just literally do it for me on the call and show me, because that's how I'm going to learn, as opposed to you should do it more this way. That's not good enough. And that was support that I was lacking. So with my clients now, and I typically have clients who come to me, they've already tried something, but it hasn't worked, or the support hasn't been there. So they're frustrated. They're quite cynical when they come on board, because it's like, oh, here we go again. You know, I've been through this before. And they'll say to me, well, I didn't expect that level of support from you. And they get more support from me because they also have access to me personally, which I think is really, really important. Because there are just times when you need somebody to say, right, let's look at your offer document right now and we'll go through it. I also stay on top of people's social media accounts. I check social media, breeze through that once a day. For example, I had a client the other day who was posting reels on Instagram, but she was downloading them from TikTok with the TikTok watermark. And that's a rookie mistake, because Instagram will not promote any reels with TikTok's watermark on them. So I sort of jumped on the chat with her and said, hey, you've got to remove this, download SafeTalk, the free apps that'll allow you to do that. So that's the type of support I do offer my clients. But it also is room for thought in terms of how do you grow a coaching business? Because obviously, as I'm growing now, I can't offer that level of support to everybody. So it's going to be about bringing new coaches on board. I'm talking to a lovely girl now, a woman. I use the term girl, but I like to call myself girl too, because it makes me feel young.
That's exactly right. Yes.
So I've got a lovely girl who I'm talking to now who I think is an incredibly capable coach, and I'm going to be growing that way, because for me, growth is not just pushing a cookie cutter course out to the rest of the world as quickly as possible to as many people. It's still about giving that support. And I think that is something that's really been lacking in a lot of instances.
I agree totally. Yes. Having been a course, habitual course taker, and failing at all and not succeeding at any, because I didn't just, I'm probably a bit like how you described. If I need a hand with something, I need someone to show me how to fix the mm-hmm. problem, not just either like do it for me, like go away, take the thing away, do it for me. Well, yeah. that doesn't teach me how to fix it. And or just say, you know, put this here and that there and whatever, like, you know, your experience was, because it doesn't teach me anything. Either.
No.
So I actually need someone to sit with me online or face-to-face when we can, to actually show me how to do that. And you're right. A lot of coaches don't do that.
No, they don't. And for me, that's one of the areas where I got very stuck over the years. I've been running my own businesses now for the last five years. And I would say the first 2 years were just coaching with other people. But again, going through a course and going, hang on a second, this is nothing like I expected. This is nothing like what was sold to me. This is not what I'm looking for. And then looking for something different. So yes, I think, look, one of the issues with the coaching industry is there is no accreditation. Anybody can actually call themselves a coach right now. And look, there are some people who are excellent at what they do and they really should be coaching. Just because they haven't gotten accreditation doesn't mean that they aren't good at it. But it also makes it very difficult as a purchaser of a course to really work out, is this person any good at coaching? Do they gel with me? Do I gel with them? And are they actually going to lead me through the process? Because a good coach is actually a leader as well. And it's also about picking that person up and inspiring them in those moments where they're sitting at home going, I just can't do this anymore. I'm so over it. I'm not capable. And, you know, add another different bunch of different reasons why they can't. It's about picking them up as well. And that's something that a good coach should do too.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Now, I can't recall, Angela, have you written any books? I thought you may have.
So I've just had a book come out on Amazon, Booked Out Boss Babe. Secrets to running $1 million coaching business. And there's been a bit of a delay with Amazon because of the whole supply chain issue with COVID. But yes, I am excited to say that that is my first book. And I never thought I would write a book because I really hate writing, but I did it. So it's one of those things to cross off my bucket list.
Well done. Excellent stuff. And I know you haven't got a podcast. So, and I reckon you should have one, to be honest, because what you teach is absolutely amazing, and you know, you'd get heaps of listeners out of it.
Oh, look, it's something that I'm planning to start again this year. I did for a while have one, but again, you know, life got in the way. I got sick. I make no bones about suffering from depression. I developed bulimia at the age of about 14 or 15, and it is something that has been something I have had to work on for many years. The last 7 or so, I would say that I finally got on top of that. But 2020 for me was just a horrific year with COVID and losing something I love very much. One of my both my animals, my little dogs, died, and that really, really shattered me watching them go through cancer. So it was a year for me, I guess, just to go underground for a little bit and not focus on my business as much. I needed to focus on myself. So 2021's been a year of blossoming and regrowth. And I'm so committed to helping women. I've got this goal of helping 1 million women achieve financial freedom by 2030. And you know, every day I hear stories about more women who've struggled, or women who can't leave home because their husband beats them, but they have no income. I've had another lady who came on board. Actually, she was in my early days of coaching. She was incredibly successful. She ran her own marketing business. She was in her 50s, never had kids, theoretically happily married. And her husband decided to divorce her. So here they had two farms, many houses. She thought she was very successful. She gave him their assets and kept the business. Meanwhile, he hadn't paid tax for a number of years in the business. He'd been running that side of things. So at 55, she had to declare bankruptcy. And when I met her, she was literally sleeping on her father's couch in the nursing home on the Central Coast. And she said to me, if she hadn't met me, she wouldn't have had money for food. And I initially started working with her pro bono until we got her on her feet. So that for me also just shows, you know, in life you can't just take it for granted. And I think so many women, we spend so much time in our lives in the early years looking after our families and our kids and our husbands and our parents. And then suddenly we get to 40 or 50 and it's like, hang on a second. Where is me? I've lost myself in this process. And also, then suddenly we go, holy cow, I don't have enough money for my retirement. And a classic is you get divorced, you split the assets equally, but you're earning less because you've always been earning less because you've been a woman, you've taken time out of the workforce, etc. You've had to work part-time when your kids were young. So you start working, but your husband's earning way more than you. He's got way more money in his superannuation fund. And when you split the assets, he has the income and the assets to buy a home. You don't. You have to rent for the next 20 years. So what that does is it eats away at the money that you've got saved, and you get to 60 and we're poor. And this has to stop. You know, my commitment to women is not just women in the third world, and don't even get me started on that, because there's so much there in terms of maternal health and marrying little girls off at the age of 12 and not getting girls educated. And of course, the worst of all is just the sex slavery. That is
No,
just
don't get me
horrific,
started on that.
horrific. It's a bigger slave industry than ever in the world. But we're also looking at women in the Western world who are in trouble, and many of them don't even realize it because we blindly go through these early years in our life not thinking about it. We are committed, obviously, to families. We love them, of course. So I guess my message to a lot of women out there is take care of yourself. Make sure that you're taken care of financially. And no matter what age you are, it is never, ever too late. Never too late.
No, I know that your mission when I first met you all those years ago was to help 1 million women by 2030. And I'm glad to see that you're still on that mission. It's wonderful. I know you're well on the way to helping them because just because of your heart and your just the way you are. So.
I am so committed to it. I'm a single mother. My son is now 27. I lost his father when my son was 6 months old, and I was a baby myself. I was 20. I mean, I look at my son at 27. He's no way suited to parenthood at the moment. But I look at myself at that age, and I was literally forced to become an adult overnight when I was suddenly responsible for this little human being financially for the rest of his life on my own. And I have effectively raised him on my own. He went deaf when he was little, so he needed medical treatment for that to fix it. He needed speech therapy because in those early years, there's a lot of parts of the brain that have to form around collecting and putting sounds together, and he couldn't do that. And his goal, or his dream, was always to become an engineer. From the day I gave him his first set of Duplo and Legos as a little boy, And he really struggled with writing and spelling at school. So I was committed to making sure that he was in a position where if that was his dream, he could go ahead and do that. And he actually graduates this year. In fact, he's been fully employed as an engineer, as an undergrad engineer for 2 years, and he graduates in the middle of the year. So
well done.
Yes, it's been quite a journey, I must say. So for me, this is like my time to play and shine and do whatever I want. I've got my little dog and she's my companion and the two of us go everywhere together.
Yeah, I turned 62 not long, just a few weeks ago.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, now it's my turn. It's my turn to, you know, get my business up and going. I've been playing at it. Now I'm really going to get serious. And, you know, now it's my time to, you know, get healthy and look inwards and work on the inside so that the outside is, you know, perfectly happy and the world is golden and beautiful.
But it's a fantastic age. I mean, I think of my grandmother. My grandfather died around about when my gran was roughly 64, I think. And my mother at the time, because my gran had this really old sewing machine. It was a foot pedal sewing machine. I don't know when it was made. It looked like it came from the 1920s. So mum said to her, look, I'll buy you a new one. You know, why don't you reinvigorate this hobby of yours? My gran was like, no, I'm too old. And of course, she lived another 30 years. So you are in a great stage of life because you don't have to worry about the kids anymore. And there's so much to look forward to as well. There's a great woman that I follow on Instagram. I absolutely loved her. I love her. Her Instagram handle is Training with Joan. She's in her 70s. I think she's Canadian. Her daughter's a bodybuilder. They have a really nice gym in Tulum in Mexico. And Joan has transformed her life. She looked like she was about 90 years old, really overweight, dumpy, and she's become this incredibly fit, vibrant woman. Not only that, she's just launched her own training app. She's launched her own training journal. She's got a huge following on Instagram. And that for me was so inspirational because she literally turned every aspect of her life around.
Yeah, I've done that for myself in the last 12 months and it's an amazing journey. And you know, I've found out so much about myself that I didn't even realise. So, and it's been great, you know, but, you know, they reckon 60 is the new 40 now, so.
I think so too. I mean, I was given a meme the other day. A friend of mine sent me a meme and I was really shocked with this meme because it had pictures of the Golden Girls on the one side and then it had pictures of the girls from, I can't remember the name of the new Sex and the City reboot on the other side. Yeah. But they were literally the same age. So 30 years ago, women in their 50s looked like they were grannies, like old women, and women in their 50s now. I think it's just the best time because your kids are sort of moving out and you're freed from that and able to really pursue your own life, your own income. And the one thing that we are so lucky about is we have so many resources online that can now allow us to earn an income online. And live anywhere. That's the other thing, you know, we're not committed to a really expensive city. I mean, Sydney is horrifically expensive. Horrifically expensive. There's a house down the road from me that sold for 3.7 million about 5 years ago, and they've just sold it for 9 million.
Get out.
I know. If I had that amount of money, if I had 9 million floating around, I would be living in a castle on a hill in Europe somewhere.
Yeah, and I would probably have money. I've seen them and I wouldn't mind a little chateau somewhere. It'd be lovely.
It would be lovely. A friend of mine does a great job with a business in Italy. She was an Australian girl, moved there with a suitcase a few years ago. She now has a coaching business helping people buy property in Italy.
Beautiful.
So if I can encourage women to pursue their dreams and live wherever they want and have enough income to live, that's awesome because just think awesome. Of the joy that I'm like a joy spreader in terms of the luck.
I know you are definitely. Angela, where can people find you if they want to work with you?
Well, my website is angelasedran.com. So my surname is S-E-D-R-A-N and then it's .com. And you can connect with me on there. You can find me on Instagram. I'm on Facebook as well. But if you're stuck, just search for my name and you'll find my site and you can connect with me there.
Oh, she's absolutely everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah, I am. I'm going to get far more involved with Instagram this year as well. I think Facebook is a little flooded and I'm a little bit jaded with Facebook. They closed my very old Facebook account last year for community standards or safety or something. I don't know if it was hacked or maybe I replied to too many comments. I did put out a lead magnet last year on Reels and I got something like 200 comments to it and I made the mistake of replying to each one. So maybe Facebook thought I was hacked or a robot. So yes, I had to start again on Facebook, which did kill some of my momentum. But Facebook, with the algorithm, if somebody doesn't respond to a post, your post will effectively die within 6 hours on Facebook.
I know.
On LinkedIn and Instagram, you have 48 hours to make an impact. And if you put a reel out, it can get new, a lease of life within 2 weeks, anywhere within 2 weeks of actually being released.
Yeah, I haven't got into reels yet. Still need to work out how they work.
Well, maybe I can help you with that, actually. I'm in that journey at the moment.
Be good. Angela, would you like to share any words of wisdom or, you know, some bit of common sense that, you know, we might like to hear?
Yes, I would, actually. There's two things. The first is that it is never too late. You are never too old to start a business. And you really also need to understand that the belief, what you believe is truth, not necessarily the reality of what you think. And this is where we have to be very careful of what we tell ourselves. You know, if we tell ourselves we can't do it, even if it's not the truth, the facts, then that will be the reality. So as Tony Robbins says, stand guard to the doors of your mind. Be very careful what you tell yourself. And bear in mind that if you keep telling yourself you can't, you won't.
It absolutely, yes. This podcast would have never gotten off the ground if I kept telling myself I couldn't. I had a whim one night and I think, oh, there's all these businesses going in. How can I reach a whole heap of people? Oh, let's start a podcast. So a week later, after I did my art and everything and I did my own, I created everything and asked an opinion of a few people and then just got on air. I didn't register anywhere or, got to put this and get it hosted somewhere. So yeah, I just started and I've just been going and going for 18 months now. I absolutely love it because so many people I get to meet.
You do, and you build relationships with those people when you interview them too.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Angela, it's time for us to say goodbye, but thank you so much for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure and I've loved connecting with you again. It's been terrific.
Let's touch base and it's not goodbye, it's not adieu, it's just until next time.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. Yes. Okay. I'll see you soon. Thank you so much for having me. Bye. Bye.
Talking with the experts.
Thanks for joining me on Talking with the Experts. Make sure you subscribe through your favourite podcast app or on YouTube. And check out my Patreon page for more value for you, or you can buy me a coffee. My name's Rose Davidson from rosedavidson.com. I look forward to your company next time when I'm talking with the experts.